You're listening to Her Side Hustle, the podcast whose mission is to educate and empower the females out there who are hustling to turn their dreams into a reality. I'm your host, Rachel Burke, a 20-something-year-old on a journey to start a movement. I believe females are absolutely capable of creating wildly profitable and purpose-driven businesses. Join me each Tuesday as we sit down with successful female hustlers and hear all about their journey to becoming a female founder. All you need is a little bit of hustle and a whole lot of heart. Let's hear about her side hustle. Today we are chatting with Halai Farouk, and Halai is a feminine spirituality coach. She works with female entrepreneurs, coaches, healers, women who are all ready to fully claim their authentic power. And she has quite the impressive resume. She's trained in feminine embodiment, neuro-linguistic programming, authentic relating and circling, and behavioral psychology. Halai's journey to where she is today is very, very interesting. I'm super excited to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for joining. So I want to kind of just kick it off with an introduction on yourself. Give us a little bit about your background and your journey.
So I came from the corporate world. I guess that's where my background started. I don't really know where that begins. But that I started that like right after college, graduated early, did like everything right to get myself promoted and landed a job in San Francisco. And I was just doing all the things that I thought I was supposed to be doing. And I just had this moment, I think maybe less than a year even into living this pretend life, the life that I thought was the ultimate goal. And I was, there's no way this is it. There's no way. And I had just such bad anxiety. I was just so lost, empty, just confused as to what I was meant to be doing and whether or not this was it. And that's when I actually took a massive risk and I quit my corporate job to travel. I thought that was going to be my path to finding my thing and figuring out what my purpose was. And, you know, we go with that intention, but of course that's not what happens. I don't feel like I got the answers, but I discovered so much of who I was in that process. And ultimately just not to be chasing the next thing. What is the next thing I needed to be doing and who I needed to be? It was a time for me just to kind of exist. And that was something I had never done in my entire life, from doing well in high school to college to, you know, grinding my corporate job. I never knew what it meant to just like exist. And so during that time, I started to uncover more of who I was. And ultimately I thought, all right, I need to get back to reality. I want to start working. And I went back to another corporate job, but this time it was like all the signs were really obvious of what I needed to do next. And so I found myself doing a network marketing business on top of my full-time job. And through that, I was like, all right, everything is mindset. Everything is within me. And I can't hustle and put all this effort into beating the numbers and beating the odds. It was just, how can I make myself so powerful and so attractive that everything comes to me? And that's kind of where I landed into coaching. And that's ultimately what I do now is teach other women how to find that place within so that they are naturally magnetic. They are receiving everything that is that they desire, and not only receiving it, but actually being able to take it in and feel they're worth it when it arrives. So it's truly just my own process. Everything that I sucked at is what I am now embodying and able to help other women arrive at.
I can totally relate with you on that, like doing everything that you're supposed to do, like getting good grades and getting a good major and landing like a really awesome corporate job and finally getting there to like the destination that you thought was what you wanted. And then kind of just thinking like, wait, this is it. Like I worked so hard for this. So yeah, I can totally relate with that. And so the first time that you decided to quit your corporate job, was there like one pivotal moment where you woke up and you're like, I'm done? Or was it kind of like an every single day thing where you were just unhappy, and then it just kind of exploded one day? Like, what did that look like for you?
So I would say it kind of was gradual, and a lot of it was numbing in the beginning. So I remember I would just get so distracted with my social life. I was drinking a lot. I was doing anything I could to have happy hour or go out with friends or, you know, work out intensely, like something to fill the void, because outside of work, it was just like this anxiousness. And then I never forgot like the one morning that I was like, my official breaking point. I remember pressing the elevator button and just waiting for the elevator to arrive. And my anxiety was just like rising up inside my whole body. And I could feel it like, oh my gosh, I don't even want to get up on this elevator, ride it up to the 17th floor. And here we go. Like the week has begun, the day has begun, and I'm about to do this. And so I think that was the one moment that I never forgot, that I was like, how can I continue this? There's no way I can keep living like this. And anxiety ultimately is just kind of a combination of repressed emotions that we have just denied and numbed out for so long that it's really dissociated. We don't know where this like erratic energy is coming from. And then it just turns into anxiety. And that's kind of the point that I had reached. I'd numb. And then it was just anxious. And I didn't really feel anything. I didn't feel upset. I didn't feel sad. I didn't feel anything but anxious or empty.
And what was going through your mind when you decided, like, so you made the decision, like, I'm going to quit. What was going through your mind? Was it fear? Were you excited? Did you have any plan? Like, did you know what you were looking for? Like, were you looking to just maybe find a different, I don't know, like interest for a new career, like a corporate job when you wanted to go travel? Like, what was going through your mind?
Yeah. So this is interesting because a lot of people think like, it's like you decide and there's this like surge of joy and happiness and fear all disappears. And that was not it at all. I remember I actually bought my plane ticket. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to just do it. One of my friends is going to Thailand and she's like, hey, you should come. Like, this is where I'm going in September. And I think it was like June or May at the time. And I just bought the flight. I was like, you know I got to get out of here and I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to buy this flight and then just see what happens. And so it's just these little steps. I took one step to buy the flight and there's no commitment. Like I could cancel it. I could reschedule. I could never get on that plane. It didn't really matter. But that was one like signal to the universe saying like, hey, help me. You know, I'm ready to take a step out. I'm ready to take some initiative. And I'm ready to put my energy into something new. And time progressed. And I remember we got closer to the date and I kept getting more nervous. Like, am I really about to do this? So it was super scary. And it never felt like, you know, I even remember the day that I quit, I was like sitting down, I got myself a burrito. I just quit. I walked out and I was like eating my burrito by myself thinking, did I just do this? Like, now what? Am I really supposed to just go out in the world and figure this out? And my parents didn't support me. They were so mad. They actually didn't speak to me for like weeks because mm-hmm. they thought I was throwing away everything. I mean, I was making great money. I had been promoted. I was the American dream for my parents who are immigrants. So it was just like a lot of emotion in that moment. But all I knew is like, I don't know what the yes is, but all I know is that this is a no. I can't be here. I don't know where I'm supposed to be, but I just know I'm not here.
Yeah. And I'm sure that was extremely tough. Like at that age, like you have everything that on paper, you have everything that you're supposed to have and you should be happy and you don't have the support of your family traveling, but you just knew that something wasn't right. That takes a brave person and a strong person to be able to do that. So kudos to you. Now, I do want to talk a little bit about your traveling experience. So you went to Thailand. Did you spend the entire time in Thailand or did you kind of travel and hop around?
No, so this is me back in my my former travel days when I was still in the go. Oh my gosh, I didn't even enjoy Thailand. I remember going from like city to city, like every 3 days going to the next place. And I spent like 3 weeks in Thailand and 2 weeks in Bali. And that's just so not enough for either of those countries. So I remember at the end of the trip, I'm like, that was exhausting. I didn't even enjoy that fully. But after that, I spent 2 months working in a hostel in Mexico. And that was when I realized like, wait a minute, this is so much better. All I need to do is just be in this place and soak up everything that there is to do in this home and build a community, find like my way into this circle. And that was where I really learned to like slow down and truly do nothing, to be no one, to have no agenda. So I think the initial travel was still kind of like carrying on the burden of, you know, go. And once I reached my second phase, I slowed down even more. And then after Mexico, I went to Costa Rica and I lived there for about 6 months. And, you know, the culture there as well is very like, you know, Pura Vida, no big deal.
So in total, you probably traveled for what, like 10 or so months, I would say? Does that sound right? Okay.
Yeah,
and Did you have a friend with you the entire time, or were there times where you know, maybe were in Mexico and you knew nobody going in, or did you always have somebody there with you?
There were phases where I didn't have anybody with me. I went initially with a friend because I'd never been anywhere in that side of the world before. But there were phases within Mexico and Costa Rica that I'd been by myself. And the thing is that once you're in that space, there's like an openness that you have. And I just attracted friends so easily and so naturally that it was actually quite nice. There wasn't like this need to have a lot of common ground other than like, hey, we're both here and that's enough. So it was quite easy to build relationships.
That's really cool. That's awesome. I'm jealous you were able to do that. That sounds like an incredible like experience that somebody could go through. So that's awesome. Okay, so after traveling, so yeah, 10 months to a year, you traveled, and then what happened after that?
So after that, I remember reaching another wave of like, whoa, what's going on? I've been just kind of doing nothing for so long that there was a yearning to have a little bit more purpose to reach that next stage in my life. I still didn't know what it was. I just knew that I needed to start getting back to it. So I went back to the States. I got a corporate job within education because I thought, okay, maybe this time it'll be different. Maybe I'll like the company more. Or I moved to Denver. I never even visited Denver. I had a friend there and I just bought a flight and moved there. And so I was like, maybe this will be a good experience for me. And the thing was that over my travels, I had just this level of awareness and consciousness about myself that even when I was in that job, I was like, I need more. I need more. And that's when I was drawn to network marketing, which was a beautiful way for me to kind of get into the space of online business, connect with other women, be like in an empowerment community. And that complemented my full-time job really nicely for some time. But even with that, like that started to open me up more to like, this can't be it. Like, I need more. And that's really when I started to get really into spirituality and ultimately how that was reflective in my business.
Awesome. So you were working a full-time job, you had this side hustle in network marketing, and then you were kind of called to feminine spirituality. Can you kind of expand more on what is feminine spirituality?
So, feminine spirituality is ultimately learning what it means to be the embodiment of love. So, the feminine is love. And so, to show up as love in any given moment, in relationships, through your work, just through connection, is ultimately how we're able to attract all that we want. And so, by exuding this energy, by coming from a soul-centered space, you're naturally more magnetic. You're naturally able to receive. And that's ultimately all about the feminine. She receives all that she desires. And you have to know that you're worth it. You have to know that it's already yours for it to come into your reality. So it's less about the doing and the hustle, and more about like who am I? Who can I be? How can I show up so that all that I am craving naturally is drawn to me? And so it's really just working with your own body and working with your energy.
And how did you stumble upon this like concept or this way of thinking? Or I don't, and if I'm saying it wrong, I apologize. But like, how did you find this? How were you called to it?
Oh my gosh, I don't even know. I think it really was just my own burnout. Like I had reached so many phases of burnout. And even when I was in network marketing, there was a point where I was working my full-time job intensely. I was doing network marketing business. I remember I thought about being a personal trainer at one point. And so I started like studying for that. Probably lasted barely a month because I didn't click with that at all. I was doing that. And then I was doing crazy personal development. Like I was just like learning everything I could, listening to crazy affirmations, checking off the boxes and thinking like, wait a minute, I'm doing all this stuff. But I'm exhausted. Like I don't enjoy doing personal development now. I'm literally just doing it because now I feel like I should be doing it. And oh, I need to get better. I need to get better rather than just feeling better. Like I'm already better. I already feel good. So I think the burnout is really what got me to this, like, wait a minute, it doesn't have to be this way.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think that's very common. Like, I feel like it's a cycle of people that I talk to, like they're constantly trying to find something, and even if it's something that they don't even want to do, like for instance, personal training, but they just think like, "Oh, well, a lot of other people are doing it and it's a way to like make a living and make money, so maybe I should do it." But you have to do something that you're called to and that you love, or you will get burned out. So I'm glad that you kind of found what it is that you're super passionate about, and you made it. I think I read you made like six figures your first year doing that. Is that correct?
Yeah. And the thing was, it wasn't even like in the first 6 months. I think the first 6 months were quite slow. And then after that, it picked up a lot. It was like once I shifted even more into my feminine and decided to operate my business from a place of ease, that's when it worked. Because the more that you're just like painfully like struggling to make your way up there, ultimately, even when you arrive, when you get to your destination, there's this either fear that if I don't maintain this level of work ethic and grind, it's going to all disappear. Or that if I don't feel this level of like exhaustion, I'm not worth it. I'm not actually indulging and enjoying. I can't enjoy it until I feel overexhausted. So your journey to success is how it's going to feel when you get to success. Is the destination is also going to feel that same way.
That's amazing. So how can listeners who are hearing about feminine spirituality and they're interested in kind of like tapping into it, how can they apply it to their own lives? Like any tips or guidance?
Yeah. So the first place to start, honestly, is learning how to work with your body. So I have a course that's centered around working with your cycle. It's so much more than what happens when we are bleeding. You know, we know that, okay, I'm moody, I'm kind of cranky, I want to be curled up in a ball and eat chocolate, right? But there's a lot more to that. During your cycle, you're doing a lot of death and release. You're purging energies that no longer serve. You're bringing awareness to limiting beliefs that you're still hanging on to. There's a phase where we are more outward in our energy, where we're connecting with others. We want to flirt. We want to be a little bit more sexy. There's other phases where we can actually make big commitments and really sign on to a lease or say yes to a new project and see it through completion. So being able just to work with your body in different phases and saying, hey, just because this deadline is coming up doesn't mean I need to force myself in this moment to hustle. There's a point where I'm going to have this natural momentum. And so learning how to work with your body's rhythm is so much more productive, and it feels so much more natural ultimately than trying to maintain a linear level of progression and staying at one speed at all times.
This is crazy that you're bringing like your cycle and everything up, because so I just got back from vacation with my family and my cousins, and my cousin's wife, she actually has like a side hustle all centered around like tuning into your cycle and like working out and eating certain things, like depending on what part of the cycle you're on. And I'd never heard of that before. I never even knew that that was like a thing. So it's crazy that you're also talking about that, just kind of like a weird tangent, but it's crazy. Yeah. Things that you would never know, but that's cool. That's really, really cool. And yeah, I don't know. I need to start doing that more, because I'm completely, completely oblivious when it comes to all things related to your cycle and all that stuff. So I need to look into that more, but that's awesome.
Yeah. And I think that's the little signs, like when something shows up a couple of times, it's like, wait a minute. Maybe this is telling me something.
yeah, definitely. Now, you talk a lot about connecting with your intuition and receiving guidance from the universe and from yourself. Can you expand on this a little bit more?
So this is such a lot of times people think that when it comes to intuition, it's like, oh, I don't have it. You know, I'm not very good at it, or, you know, it's not really in me, but everyone has it. Like, that is so natural. And your body ultimately is communicating signs to at any given moment. So if you don't feel like you're good at intuition, you're probably just not listening or not honoring yourself, so much to the point that now your body really doesn't even trust you. It doesn't give you the cues, or you don't know how to read it. And so there's this little barrier between your mind and your body. And there's a disconnect between your mind and your body. And likely you're trusting the voice in your head over the sensation in your body. So learning to bring that back is quite simple. Like, all you really need to do is start using it consistently. Like, every single decision that you make, whether you want to go to that workout class or just have a little dance party in your bedroom. What do I feel like today? Check in. Do I want to have a cup of coffee, or am I feeling juiced this morning? Like, literally asking yourself the same types of questions throughout the day and checking with your body, checking with your intuition, which one feels like a yes, which one feels like a no. And that'll ultimately just strengthen that muscle over time so that when these big life decisions show up, you can feel it. It's just that obvious, it's that clear. And there isn't this like pressure to get it right. I think people often wait for, you know, should I divorce this man or should I make this life, you know, decision to quit my job? Those are the moments that it's way too scary if you've never used your intuition to suddenly be like, hey, I'm here. So it's just start practicing with the little moments.
That's something that I definitely struggle with. I always joke about this. Like, I'm the most indecisive person in this world. Like, even when it comes to going to like a restaurant, I can seriously sit there for 20 minutes and go back and forth on like what meal to order. And it's so frustrating. I hate it, that part of me. So I like, do you have any tips on how we can kind of like hone in and listen to ourselves and block out like all of like the distractions or the noise, or, you know, really just like figure it out. Like, what is it that you want to do? And really just like follow your intuition. Any advice?
Yeah. I love that you brought the restaurant example, cause I actually use that myself. So I'm the same way. I'm like, what do I even want? And I check in. So if you're still like new to using your intuition, sometimes asking the sensation before you make the decision can be hard. So it's like, do I want this burger or do I want a pasta? If you're asking your intuition before you make the decision, it could be like, oh, kind of foggy. But what you can do is either one, have somebody else make the decision for you. Like, all right, you're gonna eat a burger tonight, and just see what that feels like. Like, see what it feels like for when you say, all right, this is the decision. It's made. There's no turning back. Like, is there like a little bit of an ickiness? Like, do you feel yourself kind of like, you know, crumble up, close up, like, I don't know. Or is it like, like an openness? Like, do you feel yourself feeling more expansive? And you can, if you really just check in and have that awareness, you will notice that there is like a different sensation. So if it's difficult to feel that feeling beforehand, you can make a decision and then just see what it feels like after. It's like, ooh, that wasn't a good decision. Okay. What is that? No. What is that? Oops, that wasn't a good decision. What does that feel like inside of your body? Is there tension in your neck? Is there kind of like a, you know, a tingliness in your belly? Is there just like kind of an exhaustion in your temples? Like, notice what you feel, and your body will communicate that. And the better that you get at this, the more naturally it starts to arrive. And you just have a relationship with your body rather than a relationship with your mind and the pro-con list and the, you know, limiting beliefs and old stories. That's usually where your mind makes decisions from, is your past, recycling your past, whereas your body is very much in the present, what makes it feel most alive in that moment.
Yeah, that's such an interesting point. Like, why am I such an indecisive person? Because I feel like I haven't, like, my whole life, I haven't been indecisive. I feel like the older I get, the more I am. So I'm sure there's some event in my past that, who knows, I don't know, maybe I need to like do some reflecting on that. But I feel like, yeah, it's your past making you that way. And it's funny that you mentioned like have somebody decide for you and then see how you feel, because so often I'll just flip a coin and then I'll be, if the coin lands on heads and that means I have to, I don't know, eat a sandwich rather than pasta, and I feel like a little bit of like disappointment, or that's a dumb example, but like that's a good way to kind of like hone in and make you realize like, okay, so I didn't want that. Like, I wanted this outcome. So yeah, I do that like quarter flip, or yeah, have somebody else decide for you. That's a good method for that. Okay, so let's talk about another concept that you use is feminine magnetism. And I have absolutely no idea what this is. So let's hear all about it. Like, what is feminine magnetism and how can this benefit us?
Yeah. So feminine magnetism is kind of just another word for the feminine, really. Like, the feminine is magnetic. She receives, she gets everything that she wants. And so learning that everything is attraction. So there's a reason why we attract every individual, every single experience up, down into our life. It's because of how we show up, what we're exuding, what past trauma or fear we're holding on to and maybe projecting in that moment. So learning that if I can take full responsibility for the things that I've attracted into my life, there's an element of like, whoa, this is
really powerful, but also a bit scary. Like, oh my gosh, everything is within my hands. So if you kind of work with some of the past emotions, old emotions that are still trapped in your body, if there are old stories that are still very much alive inside of you, you will be attracting from that. So if you have a story around, you know, all men are idiots, then there could be, you know, anger or past hurt that you're still harboring that hasn't been released from your body, and you're likely attracting from that place. And so a lot of the work that I do is emotional release, like getting rid of these dark energies or trapped emotions, so that you're attracting from a place of abundance and your natural radiance, and you're more clear on what it is that you believe. So you're starting to attract that back into your reality.
So when you're working with, you know, another female and you're trying to like work through these, you know, the past like thoughts and experiences and kind of break free from them, what are some like ways or tips that you give them and how to tap into that?
So I wouldn't say it's like necessarily like, oh, here's like some quick hacks that you can do. Ultimately, it's about doing some of this inner work. So if there is anything still left inside of your body that you're holding on to, that you're saying, you know, let me just write some positive affirmations or think differently, it's just not going to work. So there could be a past experience that you have not fully processed, that you're still holding on to. Being able to go in there, what about that experience is difficult for you to let go of? Why do you think that it's maybe not safe to let go of that experience or that memory? So oftentimes when we don't forgive ourselves, we don't forgive someone else, it's because of this fear that that experience is going to happen again, that we're going to go back to that emotion again. And usually, you know, one of the biggest things that I work with clients is feeling, going into your emotions, actually feeling everything that you're meant to feel, because your emotions are crazy powerful. And what people don't realize is that the more that you're numbing that out, the more disconnected you are from your magnetic power. If you can think about love is always a good example, but if you can remember like a first date, the sensation of just clicking with somebody and you look into each other's eyes and you just feel the sense of like, whoa, I'm comfortable already. You know what that feels like. You know what that elicits inside of you. You know what it creates in your body. And so that sensation, if you can feel that, if you can acknowledge that, you can actually attract that back into your life. However, if there are the emotion of hurt, pain, anger is stronger inside of your body, you're going to be attracting from that place. So emotions are everything. It's your guidance system. It's your magnetic power. But whatever is dominant inside of your body is ultimately what's going to be reflected in your physical reality.
And so when you're doing, you know, like this reflecting and these exercises, and you uncover like this is like, this event or this moment or this is the reason why I'm feeling like this sort of like toxic like behavior or whatever it may be, how can we recognize that and then like break through from that and kind of like release it and move on and accept it? Like any guidance on that?
Yeah. So one of the things that you can do is typically when you're cycling. So when you're bleeding, that is a lot of times, and actually just right before, maybe a couple of days before you bleed and during the time that you are bleeding, that is when a lot of these emotions will come up. So if you notice, like PMS symptoms is ultimately just guiding you into what actually needs to be released that month, what your body is looking to release that month. And whatever irritates you or gets in the way, notice that. Don't ignore it. Don't write it off as moody. Why is that bothering you? Why are you intolerant to that? Why is this person not a match for you? And noticing what specifically is creating resentment or pain or hurt, and being able to kind of go into that emotion. And so you can do a journaling practice. One big thing that I teach literally every single client, like day one, is video journals. And this is basically just a journal, but through video, and it's more of the embodiment of the emotion. So oftentimes, like, you can't write as fast as your mind is moving and the emotions are flowing. So by being able to speak about it in video, you're able to not only kind of move with the fluidity of your thoughts and emotions, but give yourself a container to let it out, to cry if you need to cry, to get angry if you need to scream, grunt, cuss, complain, whatever is alive inside of you. And so allowing that energy to come into reality and be released from you is so, so powerful. And then another little tip is if you go back and watch these video journals, maybe a week or months later, even, you can observe yourself and notice where your body is actually closing up, where yourself you find yourself holding back and trying not to go into a certain discussion or emotion or memory, and where you're opening up, where you're ready to receive. And so just kind of like ultimately coaching and dissecting your own body in relation to what you're saying and what you're experiencing is super beautiful, so impactful, and creates this level of self-compassion that's really just unmatched.
That's such an interesting point, because I feel like so many women, they maybe will get angry when, you know, their period's coming, or they get sad or whatever it may be. They have all these feelings and these emotions, but so often we're just like, oh, well, it's just because of that. Like, that just happens when we get it. And it's like, no, there's a reason. Like, your body's telling you something. You're not just getting sad or fearful or angry or whatever it is just because of your period. It's like, I feel like there's a reason why, and you need to like dig a little bit deeper to uncover that. That's really cool that you brought that up. Okay, so one kind of like other topic I wanted to talk about is fear, because you are somebody who, you went into the corporate world, you then left to kind of like find yourself, then you went back to the corporate world, then you left again. I'm sure there was tons of fear and stress and anxiety along the way, and a lot of times fear is something that holds women back. How can we rewire the fear that we have and actually use it and embrace it? And yeah, like I said, like use it to our advantage.
The thing that comes up right now around fear is that it's just not, you can't delete it. It doesn't go away. You don't get any less afraid every time a new level shows up, whether it be a risk that you take, a new level of abundance, being able to receive more is uncomfortable. Even if you're entering into a new level of happiness, it's like uncharted territory. It's gonna be scary. And there's actually, this is typically where self-sabotage shows up, is because we're afraid of the unknown. And even if we're going into more happiness, it's technically unknown. We don't know if we're gonna enjoy the more happiness. And so just knowing that, like, it is always gonna be scary, no matter what. But can I still trust that this feels good? Can I still trust that this doesn't feel good? And I'm just going to pivot away from it. And allowing yourself just to make pivots. It doesn't need to be big changes. You don't need to have all the decisions made, but even the pivots will give you clarity. It'll bring the answers. Like I said, with the personal training, I invested way too much money into that program for literally not getting past chapter two, I think. and I don't regret it in any way, because that decision was like putting me in a vibration of change, of leadership, of just coaching altogether. And so by doing that, I was able to actually be more receptive and be a match, an energetic match for the possibilities that were meant for me. And so knowing that, there's literally no wrong decision, and it will always feel scary, but can I still do it anyway? Is it still worth it to me, for me to do it anyway?
Yeah, I think it's easy to see other people and be like, oh, well, like, they're fearless and you know, they can do all of these things and they're not afraid. And if I get to that point, I won't be afraid either. And then so you take on one thing that's like a huge, you know, it's something that's really scary and it's a big deal, but you conquer it, and then you're expecting yourself to just never have fear again. It's like, no, every step of your journey, there's going to be fear, there's going to be anxiety and things that you're scared to do, but you need to just be able to accept it and work with it and know, like, it's okay to be scared, but I can do it, and have confidence and strength in yourself, and you know, it'll pay off in the long run. But yeah, just taking that fear and just rolling with it, I think is important, because we all have fear no matter what it is. So
right,
love that.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, I do have a question for you. You know, you're somebody, you worked a 9 to 5, you had a side hustle. A lot of people that listen, they also have a 9 to 5 and they're seeking something more, whether it's starting a side hustle or maybe turning a side hustle into a full-time business. Do you have any advice for females who are kind of looking to start a journey similar to yours?
I would say if there's any bit of calling, like you probably already know. And I think that's a thing that people don't realize, like that little pull, that thing that makes you excited. What makes you feel joy? What makes you feel love? What makes you just feel like you're just expanding? And just go from there. Lean into that a little bit more. And even if you give yourself permission to feel that sense of joy day by day, either whether it be with something personal development, through a mentor, through your friendships or relationship, inviting pleasure consistently. So whatever gives you that sense of like love and radiance, allowing that to be almost like a standard. I require that. That needs to be a part of my day every day. And the more that you can say yes to that sensation, the more that that will actually, like, it's almost like you build a tolerance for it. And you actually can grow it. You grow the desire for love. You grow your ability to receive love and to be in a vibration of love. So really pleasure, inviting pleasure into your life, saying yes to pleasure. And the more that you can do that, the more that you'll naturally have clarity on what it is that you're meant to be doing in service, because what you're meant to be doing will be pleasurable. So just knowing that should hopefully be enough to start, and a lot of the answers will come the rest of the way. It's supposed to be enjoyable. It really is. So learning how to really appreciate pleasure the whole way there.
Perfect. Thank you for that advice. And one last question. Where can our listeners find out more about you and learn more about how they can tap into their feminine spirituality and follow along on your journey?
Instagram, I am very active on, so that's a great place to follow me. I share a lot of my work, just little tips, and then also just my life. I don't actually have a personal Instagram. People always ask, like, don't you wish you had a separate one? And I'm no, I don't actually. I love it. I have my business and my personal life very public on there. And so, yeah, send me a DM, or if anybody's interested, you can always just connect with me on my website and get a better idea for where you're at and if what I do is something that actually feels like your vibe.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining me today, Halai. I honestly, I started this podcast to learn and grow. And like I said at the beginning, this was all so new and foreign to me, like all of these topics, but I loved every minute of it. I learned a lot, honestly. So I just really appreciate your time today. So thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you. This has been so fun.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for joining today. I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review so other lady hustlers can find the show. Until next time, keep going.